Well, as you guys get settled in, let me just say thank you for being here tonight. My name is Chris Lowry. I'm the pastor of adult discipleship here at the church, and we are just really excited about tonight. How many of you have heard before Dr. Paul Negrut? How many of you had a chance to hear him? All right, so let's mix it up. How many have you not heard from Dr. Negrut? All right, you looking around? And Dr. Negrut raised his hand. I don't know what that means right now, but hey, so we're excited about tonight. Okay, here's a public service announcement. Are you ready? Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, all right? So on your, in honor of that, on your table is a little cup of chocolates. That is not for you to take to your wife and give as a gift, all right? So if it is last minute, the bookstore is open, okay? So I'm just trying to help you out. But Valentine's Day has snuck up on 20 of you. All right, so for tonight, let me just give you a couple of announcements of a couple of things that are coming up. And so one is, this is the last announcement you'll hear about this. Our men and boys camp out is this Friday, all right? And so we've been making Mr. Sneed stand up. So stand up back there in the back. All right, so Mike has been investing in this. It's also at John Patterson's house. And so these guys have really worked on this over the years. It's an annual event. And so what takes place is on Friday, you come out, they're going to have a campfire, they're going to have dinner, they're going to make s'mores. It's a great time of hanging out with your son or your grandson. And then you'll be able to camp out. And then the next morning, they cook breakfast, they play games. It's just a great morning on Saturday morning. So if that's something you're interested in, this is going to be the last announcement about it. But if you see that, you can go back and talk to Mike back in the back. So just I just want to make sure you knew that was coming up. We've had a good response to that so far, but I didn't want you to miss out on some good s'mores and hanging out with your child or grandchild, your son or grandson, and spending time with that. So that is this Friday, and so that is what's coming up. So we want to make sure you knew that. Also coming up, our Kingdom Missions Conference. We are now 10 days away from our Kingdom Missions Conference. So Kevin's down here preaching already. So you'll see on the screen our speakers for the weekend. And so we'll have Mick Stockwell coming. James Peoples is going to be here. That's the first weekend of the Kingdom Missions Conference. And then Rob Wilton will be here on the second weekend and sharing. There's going to be some just really cool stuff that's taking place over that weekend. And during the week, there's going to be so many ways for us to get involved. There's a coffee and conversations night. There's a breakfast and breakouts night. As you maybe were watching the slides before we started tonight, you saw those pop up. But pay attention to the Kingdom Missions Conference. It's going to be a great opportunity for us to rub elbows with church planters and missionaries that are local, national, and international. And there's going to be so many opportunities for you guys to hear their stories, to hear their testimonies, and to get involved in the work that's taking place all over the world. So don't want you to miss out as far as the Kingdom Missions Conference. One of the things that's taking place in the Kingdom Missions Conference is on Wednesday nights, the missionaries are going to be speaking all over campus. So even for our children, our teens, for Refresher, and here in Band of Brothers. And so we're excited for Band of Brothers to have Greg Lentz. So I was looking back even this week at when we had Hurricane Irma here. And so this is Greg, and so you'll see the boxes. You right remember, if you were here during the hurricane, everybody was wearing these bright neon yellow shirts that said Hearts with Hands. Some of you probably still have it if you were working, and that is Greg's ministry. And so he is going to be back here, but instead of this time working doing boxes, he'll be working on you guys, all right? So he's coming to bring it. He's a North Carolina boy, and so he's coming with a little sauce, if you know what I mean. He's coming to preach it up for that week and to share what God's doing in ministry. And so if you want to hear the term evangelist, that would be, anytime I've seen him shared, it's evangelist Greg Lentz, all right? So he is going to be here in 2 weeks as part of our Kingdom Missions Conference. So that's going to be super exciting. Be praying for that week and how God moves. So that's coming up. Also, just another quick announcement that we've got on your tables again. Charlie gave us our FCA annual celebration dinner that's coming up March the 28th. Dave Wanstedt, the coach, is going to be the speaker for that. And so if you need information, you can see Charlie as well. He would love to give you information that's coming up, but we wanted you to be aware of that great event in regards to our Fellowship of Christian Athletes that are coming up. So what we're going to do, we're going to go into our table time at the beginning today for our proverb of the week. And our proverb of the week is on the back of your handout, and it's also on the screen. It's Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So that's an opportunity for you at your table to discuss, or if y'all want to connect as we keep going, and then we'll get in to be able to talk about our guest speaker tonight and hear the word that he's going to bring to us, all right? Enjoy your table time. So grateful for you being here, guys.
Okay, gentlemen, let's conclude our conversations. We need to get the night moving. You know, one of the things, there are many advantages to being in Naples, Florida, right? Like the sunny days that we had today, right? That was strange. Did anybody find that strange today? It looked like a bleak Midwestern day in Springfield, Missouri to me. But the good news is tomorrow, 80 degrees again. But one of the things that I think is so special about living in Naples, Florida, and specifically being at First Baptist Church, is it seems so often the world comes to us. And we have a unique perspective here of seeing what God is doing around the world. You're going to see that in a couple of weeks at our Kingdom Mission Conference. Do not miss any part of it. It's going to be awesome. But on a regular basis, we have the opportunity to have brothers come in from all over the world who are sharing the love of Christ, the gospel of Christ in their respective areas. And tonight is no different. We have an old friend of our church, Dr. Paul Negrutz. And did I say that right, Dr. Paul? And did I say it with authority? All right, I'm going to say it again because I just like the way it sounds. You come on up. Dr. Paul Negrutz, let's welcome him. Dr. Negrutz is the president of the Emmanuel University in Oradea, Romania.
That's perfect.
Am I saying it right?
Absolutely.
All right. He is also the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church there in the Oradea area. You've been here many times, and you've blessed us every time you're here. It is so good to have you again. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, thank you very much. You pronounce so well all the Romanian words that I will invite you to interpret for me tonight. Great honor being here, and I invite you to open the Bible at the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you will set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, every generation has to choose between three mentalities. Live as a defeated generation, live as a surviving generation, or live as a conquering generation. Defeated, survive, conquer. This is a choice that faces every generation. Here in the book of Joshua, we see the change of generation. Moses is gone. He has lived as a conqueror. It's the time for Joshua. And the beginning is very, very concerning. God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you stand up, you take these people, you cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to you. So God said, I'm going to give you the land. And the next line, you take it. I give it to you, you take it. And you'll get as much as you take it. Have you ever thought of standing face to face with God, and He will say to you and me, I'm about to give you your land, your country. Take it. What would we do? How would we respond if God would say, here is the land, here's the country, I give it to you, you take it. We were confronted with that moment in December 1989. 45 years of communist oppression, 45 years of persecution, 45 years of darkness and terror. 45 years when the Christian church was the target number one of communist ideology. Just to have an idea, in 1945, 44, 45, when the communists seized power in Romania, with the help of Soviet tanks, Red Army, the Romanian Baptist Union had about 250,000 baptized believers, over 2,000 churches, and about 2,500 ordained pastors. That was in 1944, 1945. By 1989, the number of the Romanian Baptist churches came down to 650. The number of the pastors came down to 120. The number of baptized believers were about 60,000. Suddenly, the whole communist bloc crumbled. It was like God inviting us, I give you the land. Take it. What shall we do? How can we take it? The church has no army. The church is not a military conquering institution. The church is part of the great kingdom of God. How can we take a country? Now, at that moment, there was a sort of excitement and confusion. Excitement that communism was gone, confusion, what shall we do? We came together, a number of people, we pray, we ask God to give us wisdom, to give us knowledge, to give us understanding. What shall we do? Out of that prayer time, studying the Word of God, spending time to exchange thoughts and ideas, we understood that step number one in taking a country for Christ is evangelism. The number one step is evangelism. Christ our Lord came to seek and save the lost. Friends, political freedom is great, but it's not enough. People could be politically free and spiritually in bondage. After 45 years of communist ideology, deception, and terror. There was the wide door open, and during the Romanian anti-communist revolution of December 1989, we realized the hunger of the Romanian people for spiritual realities. As the communist dictator was overthrown by the crowds, the number one slogan of the Romanian people was, "There is God. There is God." People knelt down on the streets, in the squares, and they began to pray the Lord's Prayer. So we saw the great hunger, and we began to focus on personal evangelism and public evangelism. We encourage our people to witness to all their neighbors and colleagues and friends and people they meet. Witness to them and tell them who Jesus is. What is God's plan of salvation in the cross of Christ? But we also emphasize public evangelism. We have been praying during the communist days that God will open the door when the gospel will be proclaimed in Romania on radio and television and sports stadiums and marketplace and public buildings. We asked God to bring such a day, and now the day came. So we decided to have the first evangelistic crusade on a sports stadium in the history of the country. May of 1990. We targeted some of the leading cities of the country. So we were targeting now the first city of Romania for the first time evangelistic crusade in the whole history of the nation. We had as evangelist for that occasion, Luis Palau. Luis Palau came, and his team and our team, we were planning and prepare, and everything was set up from the sound system to the counselors and follow-up, and everything was there. And the first day for the crusade came, and it began to rain. And it rained heavily. It was a thunderstorm. So we pray and ask God to stop the rain and clear the sky so that the people may come to the stadium. 1 hour before the crusades was about to start, do you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. It continued to rain. So with Luis, we took a taxi cab to go by the stadium just in case someone will show up. Tell them that we are sorry. We cannot have a crusade. It was an open stadium and was downpouring. So just in case someone will show up, tell them, sorry, tonight we cannot have, but please do come tomorrow night. When we got to the stadium, we couldn't believe our eyes. Over 60,000 people on the stadium. In the rain, waiting to hear the gospel. We didn't have sound system. No one was there, just the two of us. And we had a small pocket New Testament. Jump on that platform. Shouted the gospel to 60,000 people. Now you know, Luis is Argentinian, I'm Romanian, and we can shout. So we shouted the gospel. Then he said, now, if you understood that you are sinners and Christ died for your sins, and if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and you make him Lord and Savior, we would like to pray with you and invite you to come forward. And the whole stadium began to come forward. Luis didn't know exactly what I said in Romanian, so he said, hold on, hold on, hold on. He went all over again. Explain as clear as possible the way of salvation. He said, now if you are ready, please do come forward. And the crowd began to come forward. They were crying out to God for forgiveness. As they came on that field, I still can see them before my eyes. I turned to Luis and said, isn't our God awesome? These people are saved and baptized in the same second. You see, they were all wet. And I'm a Baptist pastor and want to see them wet. When we saw how great was the hunger, and they went across the nation. we went to the Romanian television and asked for time to present the gospel on the national television. At that time, the whole country of Romania had just one national channel, one TV channel for the whole country. Friends, that's a blessing. There's no fight at home over channels. One choice, and it's peace at home. So now on that one channel, we got half an hour every day, Monday to Friday. Prime time, 7 o'clock p.m. We decided to have a Bible reading program with the whole country of Romania through television. The response was amazing. Up to 30,000 letters a day. Men and women from across the nation telling us that they have watched the program. How can they get saved? Where can they get a Bible? And where should they get know there is a church? So when we saw how great is the hunger, how people respond, we understood that step number two is church planting. When people are saved, they should join a local body of Christ where they receive further training, where they are disciples, where they grow, they become part of a fellowship, and from there, they start sharing the gospel with others. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new churches have been planted. It was an amazing time. But you see, as soon as those churches were planted, we realized that only 120 pastors for the whole country, that was not enough. So we understood that step number three is training a new generation of leaders. So we started a theological seminary in Oradea, my hometown, my home church. We started a theological seminary in September 1990 to train pastors for these churches and leaders that will take care of these crowds that are getting saved. Now, Romania was a free country, so I went to the capital city of Romania, Bucharest, met with the state secretary for education, and we told them that we want to start this theological school, and we want to have that school officially recognized in the country as a theological school. So I presented this gentleman the little strategy we have, how many churches we have, how many would like to plant, how many towns and villages in Romania. So hearing my little presentation, this gentleman said, "Mr. Negruț, I need your help in a different matter. The public schools of Romania are short of over 25,000 teachers. How many of you have visited Romania? May I see your hands? There are some. Thank you very much. Now, you may know the rural area of Romania. At that time, this gentleman told me, those vacancies are in rural areas with no electricity, no running water, no transportation. Only a missionary will go to one of those places and work in those schools. But in the state university of the country, we cannot train missionaries. You can. Why do you want to have just a theological seminary and not a Christian university? Have a Christian university and let your students take double major. Theology, literature, theology, history, theology, math, music, whatever you like, and they will be our teachers and your missionaries. Can you see? So I said, hallelujah. Went home, talked to my colleagues, said, this is a great day. Let's start a Christian university. And we had a great beginning because we had absolutely nothing to start with. We had no campus. We had no budget. We had no faculty. And we had no library. Well, I keep telling that we had the library, 66 books. So September 1990, we started Emmanuel University of Oradea, Romania, the first class, 60 students, and we decided to offer a scholarship to students from former Soviet countries, from Ukraine, Moldova, Russian Federation, and offer scholarship to students from Bulgaria and Albania, former Yugoslavia, Hungary. And we welcome students from those countries because now there was a great day. 2019. Emmanuel University of Oradea, Romania, is the only accredited conservative evangelical university on the continent of Europe. The only accredited conservative evangelical university on the continent of Europe. You may ask, and what's the big deal? Here is the point. Europe is no longer a secular continent. Europe is increasingly pagan. Paganism is the new culture of Europe. If the secular culture was hostile to Christianity, paganism is aggressive against Christianity. And the battle there is who will shape the minds of our children. Now send your children to a pagan school, and they will come home with pagan thoughts and lifestyle. So we understood that the minds of our children is a mission field. So we started from kindergarten all the way up to the university. And we encourage other churches across the nation to start Christian school from kindergarten as high up as they can. Because in our missionary understanding, training, shaping, equipping our young children is a missionary strategy. So we started a school, and today we have thousands of graduates serving in 40 countries of the world. Evangelism, church planting, training pastors and church leaders. But friends, most unsaved people are not in churches on Sunday, but they are on the marketplace from Monday to Friday. So in our university, we decided that it's great to start a school of business and management. So we started a school of business and management to train missionaries for the marketplace. People that will work, they will create jobs, they will start new companies, they will get into the top companies of the country and go as missionaries. And because of the academic achievements of our school, the leading international companies working in Romania are hiring our graduates. Already from the second year, they come and recruit them and give them good internship and offer them education. But you see, with that, we can penetrate the marketplace. We can present the gospel, and we coin a new term. Not only missionary, but visionaries. Visionaries are business people who are missionaries. And missionaries on the marketplace, they do two things. They embody the gospel. They live a lifestyle that is worthy of the name of Christ. And everybody else will see that they are different and ask them why. And they explain why. Now, in the country of Romania, in all the major cities, we are organizing every year the business day of that city. When the whole business community is coming together in one place, in one conference center, and our school of management is organizing the business day. And all the speakers are chosen by our faculty. And every year in every city, there is a presentation of the gospel for that business community. And the opening is amazing. But you see, when you have that business community, there's something else. You see, those people who are making the money, they influence the culture. And if you have Christian people who are creating jobs and they are making good money, they influence the culture. And we see the great response of business community to hear the gospel. In some of the countries of Romania, our graduates are now working in local administrations, and some of our people are working in central administration. While we are targeting schools and businesses, we are concerned. We care for the poor, for the needy. So there are ministries for the poor people, for pregnancy crisis, for abandoned babies, for people with all kinds of terminal illnesses and needs. We care for them. But at the same time, we are focusing on those who would be the leaders of the next generation. Evangelism, church planting, training, visionaries on the marketplace, and then encourage Christians that are gifted and called by God to step into the public place. Go into the parliament. You know, there is the place where laws are being made. If we do not have there people that know the Lord, stand for the truth, the pagans will influence the content of our laws. So we have now evangelical Christians in the Parliament of Romania. And they set up a prayer group there, and they chose the place to meet. If you've been to Romania, the second largest building on earth is in Bucharest, Romania. The second largest building on earth is in Bucharest, Romania, and it's the palace that the dictator Ceausescu built to celebrate the victory of communism over anything else. In that building, there was a special room designed to be the headquarter of communist ideology. So the evangelical believers in parliament have chosen that office as the prayer chapel, and they meet there for prayer. Isn't God great? At this time, we are looking at what's happening around us. So we encourage our graduates to go into other European countries. Some of the fastest growing churches in other European countries are churches that are pastored, led by our graduates. In London alone, we have over 40 Romanian-led churches. Some of them run up to 1,000 on Sunday morning. English people, speaking people are reached out by our people there. It's the same in Italy, the same in Greece, the same in Spain, the same in Germany, in Austria, the same in other countries. We are encouraging to spread the gospel to other European countries. And we pray that as we see Europe heading for a major crisis, we pray that God will speak to Europe once again. The continent of the Protestant Reformation, the continent of the great revivals, we pray that God will visit again. Now, you may ask, how do you have so many ministries in a needy country like Romania? Coming out from communist economy with a very weak economy, I am glad that you asked the question. Because I will share with you the answer. My answer has two parts. Part number one, poverty is not an excuse. Poverty is never an excuse. If you hear somebody saying, well, we do not do great things for God because we are poor, that's not the reason. They are not doing because they are lazy. That's number one. Number two, I invite you to come with me in your imagination back in time to 1950s, 60s, in the country of Romania under communism. When the communists arrested our leaders, when they pulled down our churches, when they targeted Christian church and they tortured, persecuted, and they murdered by thousands and thousands. For reasons unknown, some of the leaders that were placed in jail were isolated for years in various jails around the country, prisons around the country, And after a number of years of isolation and torture, six evangelical leaders were brought together in the same prison and in the same prison cell. They haven't seen each other for years. Now, they were weak, they were wounded, they were so weak. Hardly could stand on their feet. But they were together and they realized that that day was a special day. It was a Sunday. And was Easter Sunday, the Sunday of Resurrection. So when they realized that they are together on Resurrection Sunday, they said, this is a great day. Let's celebrate Easter together. So they began to quote from Scripture, memories, verses, passages about the resurrection. And at that point, one of them said, why don't we celebrate the Lord's Supper together? Now, they were in a prison cell. And one of them said, well, that would be nice, but you know, we have nothing to celebrate the Lord's Supper with. Why don't we postpone until we get something? Another one in the group said, we cannot postpone because we do not know if there will be another day for us. So let's celebrate the Lord's Supper with nothing. Now come with me. They form a circle there, and one of them took nothing. He blessed nothing. He broke nothing. He gave each and every one of them nothing. They ate nothing. Celebrating the body of Christ that was broken for us. Another one took nothing. He blessed nothing. He went to each and every one of them and poured them nothing. They drank nothing. Celebrating the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins. Heaven came down. The joy of the Lord filled that place. They praised God. They sang. They prayed together. That night, they were scattered again. Eventually, some of them came out from jail after 15, 17 years of imprisonment. One Sunday night, I had two of them on my platform at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Oradea. They told us this story. And one of them was Richard Wurmbrand. Probably you heard of Richard Wurmbrand, torture for Christ. One of them was Richard, and Richard said, do you know what was the greatest lesson we learned that day in jail? We learned that nothing is raw material for God. God created the whole world out of nothing. He said, whenever you have nothing, that is the greatest starting point with God. If you wait until you will have something, you will never have enough. If you say, I would like to go on the mission field, but I need to wait until I raise some more money. By the time you get that amount, you will be too small. Inflation, exchange rate, whatever, you will never have enough. So he said, why don't you give your nothing to God now? And out of your nothing, he is building up his kingdom. So we gave our nothing to God. We gave our nothing to God, and he is building up his kingdom. And now we have our campus, and we have our faculty, and we have our little budget, and we have whatever we need for the day. And to our nothing, this church decided to be a partner. And the church from here sent, Dr. Wicker came and he was the keynote speaker for our graduation, and he taught in our university and he preached in our churches, and we were blessed. Friends, not the amount, but the faith and the vision. God can do miracles with our nothing. Let me conclude with a biblical illustration. One day, Jesus was out there on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He preached the long sermon that day to the crowds that came to hear him. And the late afternoon, some of the disciples that were very concerned that these people may be fainting getting home because they had no breakfast, they had no lunch, and they had no dinner. So they said, Lord, why don't you stop teaching and let them go through the villages and buy something to eat? So Jesus said, you give them something to eat. So he asked Philip, Philip, do you know a place where we can buy bread? Philip was from that area, so he knew all the shops there. So Philip said, Lord, with 200 denarii that we have, if we buy bread, there will not be enough for each one to get a bite. So Lord, your suggestion is absolutely no sense. We cannot do that. Well, Andrew came along and Andrew was amazing. He said, Lord, Philip is complaining about 200 denarii, that was the wage for 8 months' work. Lord, identify something else. There is a little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But how far can we go with this? Now Jesus said, bring that to me. Whew. Can you imagine Jesus with 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people? He looked up to God and he gave thanks to God. He blessed them. Now, here's the point. Imagine that little boy going home that night, telling his mom, Mom, do you know what I and Jesus did? Mom, I and Jesus fed 5,000 hungry men over there. I and Jesus. You see that you are invited to a story like that? I and Jesus. Let your imagination be fired. Let your hearts be set on fire. Let your will be moved. Because each generation has to choose. Will we live as defeated, survivors, or conquerors? We are following Jesus Christ who conquered. He came out victorious. He was lifted up at the right hand of the Father, above every name that could be named, not only in this generation, but the generations to come. We are following a victorious Savior. May I invite us to stand up for prayer? May I invite us to stand up for prayer? In Romania, we stand up for prayer. We belong to a generation that has so many opportunities like no other generation in history. How will we respond? What will be your personal decision? What will be my personal response? Oh Lord, you came from heaven. You took a human body. You lived among God, among us, full of grace and full of truth. You taught us the great lesson of trusting God the Father in all areas. You took all our sins and you went to the cross and you died for our sins to bring us out of death and bondage and set us on our way to glory. On your footsteps. Lord, you give each generation a new opportunity. And I thank you for our generation. I thank you for what you are doing in Eastern Europe, and I thank you for what you are doing in America. I thank you for what you are doing around the world. And as this great church is getting close to the mission conference, I pray that you bless all the missions of the church. I pray that you will bless every member of this church. You'll bless our families. Lord, together we pray for Europe and for America. Visit us again, Lord. We pray for a new revival. We pray for a new day when the kingdoms of this world will turn their face to the kingdom of God. And the rulers of this world will acknowledge that only one ruler is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his name and for his glory we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's thank Dr. Paul and the group. Thank you. Amen. A great challenge. Well, gentlemen, before you can go ahead and have a seat back at your table, but listen, as we transition into our table time, we definitely have just heard the Lord shared very clearly tonight through Dr. Paul Nagrud. And listen, we know with a room of hundreds of us gathered here that each one of us come in here in different spiritual states. And maybe here tonight, as Dr. Nagrud was sharing the gospel, that the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. And I know we've got some pastors up here. And if you need Christ as your Savior tonight, we would love to talk to you. Here in a minute, it's going to be really easy because your tables are going to begin to discuss and share. But if you need Christ as your Savior tonight, we would love to talk with you about that. We're going to be right up front here. And if you need Christ, I encourage you to step out and come forward. We'd love to share with you. What an incredible challenge of what God can do with nothing. It's the basis of how he works. What a great challenge tonight. And I'm excited that Emmanuel University is one of our Kingdom Mission partners. And when you are a part of our Kingdom Mission giving, that those dollars, in a little sense, are a part of what God is doing as one of the last standing lighthouses in Europe. And so what a great challenge tonight. And gentlemen, I think that's what we all want to ask is, God, what are you calling me to do with what you have given me? Little or much, we're supposed to be stewards of it. And so listen, in your handouts on your table, there's a couple of questions that you guys can go through and discuss. But most importantly, if you're here tonight and you need Christ as your Savior, us pastors, we'd love to talk to you about that. If you need to pray about something, we'd love to pray with you as well. All right, gentlemen, let's turn to our table time.